That's one of the ways in which we can know whether we have become a little more like Jesus. If we love little children, if we say, don't drive the children away, let the little children come to me. This is one of the big differences between the Pharisees and Jesus was this. Even between the disciples of Jesus and Jesus. Of course, the disciples of Jesus had never known any example other than the elders of that church who were Pharisees. And it's a good way for all of us to examine ourselves as to how much we are becoming like Christ. When you visit a home, are you interested in talking to the children or only to the adults? I found that's a pretty good test of whether we have become like Jesus or whether we are continuing like the Pharisees. Our natural tendency is only to talk to the adults because we are born Pharisees, every one of us. But if the Holy Spirit has shown you Jesus Christ in the Gospels, He'll make you like Him. I'm not thinking of from tomorrow onwards you're going to artificially talk to the children. That's an act. It's like a mask you put on. Throw it away. Ask the Holy Spirit to make you like Jesus inside, where you naturally gravitate to little children wherever you see them, or you want to talk to them and fellowship with them. That's a very, very good test, particularly for those of us who already think we are pretty spiritual. Just check yourself on that line. I want to share a word from the book of Judges. You know, the book of Judges is a history of God's people sinking frequently into backsliding after those mighty days of Joshua. Something like the way the church sank after the days of the apostles. You see the difference between the first five chapters of Acts and Revelation 2 and 3. So Judges is something like that. The children of Israel backslid and went down. And every now and then, God had to raise up a deliverer to deliver Israel. But most of those deliverers, we don't know where they came from. They suddenly appear on the scene. All the judges mentioned in the book of Judges, if you have studied that book, except one. And that deliverer, we know his history from the time before he was born, where an angel came to the mother and said, you're going to have a child. Judges in chapter 13, verse 1, the people of Israel went back again to doing what was evil in God's sight. And therefore, God put them under the domination of the Philistines for 40 years. So what was God's solution to deliver the Israelites from from being enslaved to the Philistines? God's solution was a little baby. Something like God's solution to deliver man from his sin was a little baby that is going to be born to Mary. And here also it is a little baby. And there was a certain man whose name was Manoah, verse 2. His wife was barren and had borne no children. It's an amazing thing in the Old Testament how you see so many of the great men of God were born to mothers who were barren for so many years. Samuel, Isaac, Jacob, and Samson here who delivered Israel. And when a mother is barren for many years, she prays. You see, nowadays, it's probably not such a shame to be without a child. In fact, in Western countries, a lot of married women don't even want to have children. It's pathetic. But in the olden days, when man was more normal, it was a shame not to have children. And so they longed, you know, everybody else having children, and this wife says, I don't have any. And they knew that there was no way to do it. It wasn't medicine and IVF and all that type of stuff. It was going to God. That was the only way. And saying, God, you've got to give me a child. So these barren mothers prayed. And so these men, names I just mentioned, they were children born in prayer. It's a wonderful thing if your child was born in prayer. And if when the child was in the womb itself, you prayed for the child. It's what every mother should do. And that from the time it is born, it's born into an atmosphere of prayer, which means not formal prayer the Pharisees prayed. I'm talking about a prayer that is an expression of mother and father helplessly dependent upon God. That is real prayer. Prayer is the expression of our helplessness. And only helpless people pray, or those are aware of their helplessness. That's why the cleverer we are and the richer we are, we pray less. Well, we may pray formal prayers. I mean, there are rich people and clever people who go through periods of fasting and prayer, but it's as empty as the fasting of the Pharisees. It's a form. It's a ritual. It's something which I do to congratulate myself. I'm not talking about that type of rubbish. I'm talking about prayer that is a helpless dependence upon God, which only a humble person can have. And it's a rare rich person who's humble. And it's a rare clever person who's humble. There are a few, but it's very rare. So, this mother was longing, and one day after many years, she got an answer. An angel of the Lord appeared to her in verse 3. He said, now you're barren and have had no children, but you're going to conceive and give birth to a son. And make sure that he doesn't drink any alcohol or eat any unclean thing. And in those days, one mark of devotion to God was that they wouldn't shave or cut their hair, etc. So that was another thing he said. And she went immediately and told her husband. You know, it's wonderful to be a wife who, when she hears something from God, the first thing she thinks of is, I've got to tell my husband that. That's what she thought of. It's a great example. I hope all of you mothers and wives are like that. God speaks to you. And immediately you say, I've got to tell my husband this. She went and told her husband, a man of God came to me, verse 6. And his appearance was like the appearance of the angel of God. Very awesome. And I did not ask him where he came from, but he said, I'm going to have a son, and he's going to give me, and I'm not to give him any strong drink or wine, etc. It's going to be a Nazarite. Then the father began to pray. That's great. When a mother can stir her husband to pray. I hope your wives will be like that, and mothers, that what you share with your husband will drive him to prayer. Not drive him to say, oh, that's something good I can share in the meeting next Wednesday. No. But which will drive him to prayer. Manoah entreated the Lord and said, oh Lord, is the father, the mother, the husband praying now. Please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again. It's quite an amazing thing. That requires some faith for a man to pray. I mean, to have an angel visit your home once itself is a fantastic thing. Most of us have never had an angel come to our house even once. And to be so bold as to say, Lord, send him a second time. I'd like to meet him. Boy, he really had faith. And this time, look at the prayer he prayed. A lot of us pray, the angels will come and bless our home with money and prosperity and health and all that. I don't know whether Manoah was sick or what, but that's not what he prayed for. He may have been a poor man, but he didn't pray for wealth. Look what he prayed for. the father, please send him to us, this man of God, who can teach us how to bring up this boy. You said we're going to have a son. Tell us, how shall we raise him up? That's what I want to encourage all of you parents to pray. And then another day, the woman was sitting alone and her husband was not with her. And the angel appeared. And immediately she went and called her husband. Boy, she was very different from Eve. She immediately called her husband. Here was a submissive wife. I'll tell you something. One of the best things you can do, mothers, for your children, is to be a submissive wife. It's the best thing you can do for your children. Your husband may not be so clever. He may not be the one who has visions of God like you have, like this woman had. Even the second time, even though the father prays, the angel appears to the mother. But look at her humility. Not something to boast about. There are many women who think they are very spiritual and who boss it over their husbands. I'll tell you something. I feel sorry for how their children are going to grow up. I really feel sorry. You won't see it now when the children are small. But wait till they are 20, 25 and get married and you'll see the result of your bossy attitude towards your husband. It'll be too late for you to do anything then. She didn't rejoice in the fact that the angel appeared to her a second time even when the father prayed. She went and called her husband and said, hey, the man of God who came has come appearing. And Manoah rose, and I don't know what he was doing, but he dropped everything and ran and came with his wife and spoke to this person. It looked like a man. He said, are you the man who spoke to the woman? He said, I am. Now, please tell me once again, what will this boy's mode of life be? And what he was asking was, in today's terms, tell us, how shall we bring him up so that he can be prepared for his vocation, means for the work, O God, that you have called my son to do when he grows up and is a 30-year-old young man, or my daughter grows up and is, oh, maybe not 30, 20, 25, whatever, young man or woman. I don't know, oh God, what this little baby is going to be when he grows up. What's his work going to be on earth? You don't send babies onto earth just for nothing. There is a plan and a work and a vocation. Look at the word he used, a vocation. A work that you have planned for my child. Show us how to bring up this child so that one day when he grows up, he or she can fulfill that vocation. Maybe she's going to be somebody's wife who's serving the Lord. Maybe he's going to be someone who will serve the Lord. Oh God, we know nothing, but please help us. Great example, great, great example. And the angel said, let the woman pay attention, verse 13, to all that I have said. You really don't need anything else, mothers. Just pay attention to all that God has said in this book, the Word of God. Read it. That's all you need. Let the woman pay attention to all that I have said. You do it and follow it, and you'll prepare your child, boy or girl, for the work that God has sent him or her on earth to do. Do you believe that when you were born, God had a plan for you? And most of us, because of ignorance, we messed up our lives for so many years in wrong ways. Even after we came to the Lord, we backslid and went away because we didn't have good teachers. We sat in dead churches who were only interested in our money. not in our soul, and we went astray. But now God has brought you to a place where you hear God's word plain and simple. And you are taught how to receive the power of the Holy Spirit so that you can live according to that. Do you want your children to mess up like the way you did in your younger days? No. Do any of us want our children to grow up and go astray for many years before finding the Lord? Or wander around in wrong doctrines and false grace for many years? No. I have four sons and I wanted them, my wife and I always wanted them from the beginning, that they would grow up to live for God. That is a burden. We wept and we prayed for them. We knew we couldn't do it. And I want to urge you, my brothers and sisters, don't weep for your sorrows. One of the things I decided many years ago, I'd never weep for any problems or sorrows. If anybody caused me any suffering, I'm not going to weep for myself. I finished with having tears for myself years ago, ages ago, decades ago. But I said, Lord, I want to have tears for others. So because of that song we sing, you know, he had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. We follow Jesus. So pray for your children. Pray with much tears and longing that those children will find the vocation, the job God has called for them. And then maybe many, many years. But it takes many years of preparation to make a man of God. Many years of preparation to make a woman of God. Think of Mary. How when this little baby in her hand, which is the Son of God, boy, how she would have cared for her. How she would have cared for him. That God Almighty had sent his son as a little baby in the hands of a 19-year-old woman. And she had to bring him up. Boy, she couldn't play the fool. She couldn't be watching television serials if he were living today. No. That would have caused the child to stumble. Many mothers sit watching useless things on television and think that their children are too small to understand. Wait till that child grows up and you'll see how much that child absorbed from the things you did to cause him or her to stumble. It's like taking a child to a doctor and saying, my child is sick. And the doctor says, did you do anything wrong? No, we gave him good food, but every week we'd give them a spoon of poison, just for it was nice tasting poison. See, you gave poison to your child once a week? Yeah, it was tasty. I took some myself. That's television. All these serials, filthy movies. And then as the child grows up, you take it to Jesus and say, oh, what to do now? The Lord says, what did you do? Well, Lord, once a week we gave a little poison to it. Okay, it's quite tough to give a stomach wash after 30 years to someone who's taken poison every week. All I say is don't destroy your children. If you've destroyed yourself, suffer the consequences, but don't destroy your little children. Keep away from things, habits, quarrels and arguments you have with your partner. Fine. Go and do it in your bedroom and nobody can listen to it if you haven't overcome it. But don't destroy your children. Don't cause your children to stumble. Jesus said, it's terrible. I'll just read this verse and close. Matthew chapter 18. You'll never hear anything of God's word as strongly as you hear it in this church. But it'll be good for you. Matthew 18. And verse 6. Be careful whoever causes. Matthew 18:6. One of these little babies or little children who believe in me to stumble. You know what you should do? Go to a hardware shop. This is a paraphrase. Buy a millstone and give it back saying, that's not heavy enough. Give me a heavy one. at least 500 pounds, a heavy millstone, and then get a good strong rope that will not break, and tie it round it strongly, and find the nearest deep waters, river or lake or sea, tie it round your neck, and go and jump in. Some people say, Brother Zach speaks strongly. You haven't heard Jesus. You haven't read the Bible. That's why you think I speak strongly. Have you ever heard me say anything like this? Never. I haven't said one millionth of this. We are used to a soft gospel. That's why we backslide so easily. And we go away, try to find some other place, some other church where we can sit comfortably and listen to a soft gospel and go to hell and take our children there. Listen to the strong words of Jesus. It's a serious thing to make little children stumble. I can't think of any word that Jesus spoke so strongly where you hurt somebody else. I mean, he told us to cut off our hand and eyes if you are hurting ourselves with sexual sin. But when you're hurting somebody else, he said, there's no hope for you. Cutting off your hand and eye, you're still living. But you hurt somebody else, you don't deserve to live. Go and drown in the lake, Jesus said. Can you imagine such words? We skip over these verses. It's a serious thing to stumble our children. And if you have done it in the past, my brother, sister, let me say to you, God overlooks the times of ignorance. You're not really ignorant. If you've been in this church even for 10 years, you've heard me preach on that verse at least 10 times. So you're not ignorant. You've ignored it. Don't ignore it anymore. He calls you to repent. We want all these children, not only the five we're dedicating today, but every child that grows up in this church, to grow up to be a servant of God. I don't mean a full-time Christian worker, that's a calling. But in their life as they grow up, to live for God and serve Him. And I hope your parents will bring up your children to live for God and serve Him, whatever their earthly vocation may be. That is the greatest thing of all. I tell you, it is the greatest thing of all. I've done it for 50 years and I know there's no greater calling on earth. Train your child to live for God and to serve Him. That is the greatest thing you can ever do. And husband and wife, cooperate and pray together. Don't forget to pray for your children. We want not only them, but all the children here. And remember this, the Bible does not say Sunday school teachers bring up your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. No. That's a modern day interpretation. Fathers, bring up your children in the instruction and discipline of the Lord. Let's get back to the Bible and not leave it to Sunday school teachers. I never depended on Sunday school teachers for my children. When the Bible said fathers, I did not change it to Sunday school teachers. You, a father. And if you're a dead loss as a father, then the mother. So we want to take it seriously because we believe the world is getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. The people who are having children today have it much more difficult than I had it when I raised my children 40 years ago. They have it much more difficult today because the world has become worse. You need more grace from God and God will give it to you. My grace is sufficient for the 1970s and my grace is sufficient in 2013. If you need more grace, He'll give it. It's always sufficient. If it's tougher here, then you'll get more grace than I did. But grace is always sufficient. According to the evil of the world, where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Let's believe that for your children. And don't say the world is so evil, how will we bring up our children? Say where sin abounded, grace abounds much more. Let's bring up our children in faith. And that all of our children will follow the Lord. It's such a grief to my heart to see that some of our children who have grown up here are not following the Lord. That's a grief. And I pray they will repent. I hope your parents are crying out to God, not sitting back lazily, crying out to God and fasting and praying and God will bring your children back to Him. It's serious, brothers and sisters. How long will they serve the devil? How long will they dishonor Jesus Christ? We want every single child growing up in families here to become disciples of Jesus Christ. That's our goal. And we will preach and preach in that direction. Bear with this word of exhortation. It's spoken in love.